What's up? This is the master of Tiger Style, Lee Moriarty, and you're listening to the Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling, where we don't know Jonathan Wolf's name, we can pronounce Rip Kitty Shooter. I'm Jerry J. Alcalkin, along with Charlie Butter. Charlie, good job on Wrestling Cheer this week.
Thank you.
Previewing the show that took place last night, Al. Hey, yo. I'm looking forward to hearing the take next week on the review show.
Hopefully it's really good. And I got my picture with Scott Hall.
I've made the relegation this week. I think I'm about done with AEW Tag Team Division.
Why?
I love a lot of the individual team. But it's like at the point right now where they even freaking made up a rule where a 10 count in the ring instead of a 5 count to get out, and the referee still don't fucking count. Well, who fucking care? Just make them all tornado matches and can be done with it.
They did count during it. It's just, you know, hard to kind of control everybody all the time.
People that I know that go to AIW show, can we have a lot of lack rule in AIW every once in a while, especially with tag matches, drink a lot of in and out back and forth? But even AIW fans are kind of going, are they ever going to have a fucking tag?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me any. I don't understand why everybody's always so up in arms about it. But
again, it just
as long as the ref does his job, which Bryce was doing, he counted. It may be a slow count, but he counted. So what's it matter? As long as that is still being enacted, he's not counting.
Yeah, I just either make them all tornado matching or Lucha Roll can be done with it at this point, honestly. Then I wouldn't make it any
better. No, Chris Jericho says it can't be that way, that there has to be tags.
I agree with Jericho. I have the referee fucking enforce shit then.
They are kind of. See, they're counting.
I don't know if I brought it up when I did the review from Cleveland a couple weeks ago, but I swear to God, I don't even think I call one legal tag from the Young Buck. Like, they were making contact, but like they're standing on the bottom rope leaning all the way in, or they're reaching through the rope, or they're not holding the tag rope. Like, I don't think there was one actual legal tag in that entire fucking Young Buck match a couple weeks ago.
I'll tell you, dude. Don't bother me. You're not going to get an argument from me about it. I don't watch enough AEW. Like, I watch here and there, but stuff doesn't bother me. The rules don't bother me. You know what rule bothers me? When you get disqualified for going over the top rope.
Oh, I agree with you there. I thought that rule
bothers me. Other than that, that shit's all like, I don't need them to be in and out of the ring in a 10 count. Like, let them do their shit. Like, it's a spot fest. Let it be a spot fest. I'm not worried about the rules in the match. I'm worried about being entertained in the match. So that's where I'm at with it. Like, I could give a fuck if there's a 10 count going on, if there's, like, dives and fucking counters and all kinds of shit happening and sequences and shit. The last thing on my mind is, who's legal and when was the last time there was a tag? I'm usually just enjoying what's going on.
It's the referee in me.
Hear like, this shit?
You're trained. Don't bury the ref. And then they give you a rule to where the referee got less leeway anyway, and then you're still burying the ref. Just a personal preference, I get it. Can I just say our condolences to the family of Kimmy Guevara, but I don't think he'd woken up from that double super kick from the Young Buck last night.
I think it was just one super kick.
Okay, just one. I thought they both caught him.
No, that was just...
Oh, that's right. Nick was eliminated by then with Jeff Matt.
There was clips. Like, I didn't watch that. I watched the Lucha Bros match, and I watched the finish of the cage match, and I saw that clip. That's all I saw from AEW.
Cage match was exactly what it needed to be to get the angle over.
What'd you think of the cage? I thought that was a weird design, but it was different enough that it didn't really... It stood out from, like, the WWE's cage.
It stood out from the WWE cage. I think they were going for... I talked a week or two ago about the Memphis cage with the Lawler Idol hair match. I think they were going for that kind of cut-up where it was just a little bit off the floor. Yeah, a little bit between the ring and the arena floor and the cage. And I don't think they quite designed it the way they wanted to design it, but I didn't have any major issues with the cage.
I felt like that finishing sequence when he climbed up there, like it almost felt like everything I watched was cut in a way that he didn't take a lot of time to get up there, and then he just like hit it out of nowhere. He didn't like look and make sure everything was all right and set it up and then fucking dove.
No, that's pretty much what it was.
It literally looked like he climbed up there and jumped right the fuck back off. I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, he pretty much did. I think they were running out of time, honestly. I think they were trying to rush into the finish at that point. Me and TNT make them get off the air at 10 o'clock. However, I do want to say that I didn't catch it, but somebody I know who had been a referee in the big time, as soon as that cage match went, bell rang for that cage match, like 30 seconds later, put on Twitter, oh, according to Paul Turner, we got 12 minutes left. I didn't catch it, but...
So, last week, in my great editing that I did of the show, I somehow convinced myself that Alexander Wolf from Sanity and NXT UK Imperium was somehow in IFHY. You didn't catch it.
I
knew it sounded wrong, but I just left it alone, and then...
By the time I had a chance to listen to the show, you had already been called out on Twitter for it.
Yeah, so...
Well, that was the problem, because I was at work when the show came up. By the time I got a chance to look into it, you'd already been called out. There was no way for me to go, dude.
But you didn't catch it in person either.
You got it right. You got it right. And then you said Sean Kemp, and then you got it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. I'm like...
I could have just totally covered for it and been like, no, I was making a joke. It just fell flat. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, and I fessed up. Next time, I'm going to lie my ass off. So now I have heat with Jonathan Wolf. He's looking for me, so next time I go out to the Midwest for a show, I'm going to probably get jumped by IFHY, so.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Saturday, or I guess it'll be yesterday once this comes out, Cole Radrick is going to be at AIW, so he's a member of IFHY, so.
Duncan make it past the New Talent Initiative. He's definitely talented enough, too.
Oh, I absolutely think he does.
I mean, I
think like this crop that they're getting is at least 50% way more talented than the first crop.
Yeah, I noticed that the names that have either said that they're going to be there or that Thornick announced are going to be there are basically all Southern Underground Pro guys that we've been watching anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got a lot more non-students coming in for this one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple local guys from down this way that are supposedly I've heard. I mean, I'm not expecting them to make it, but you never know. Like, this could be really interesting.
Now, you don't know what the judges are going to be looking for one.
And this conversation really doesn't matter because by now we already know
who's on the show.
Yeah,
but
so it's fun to speculate ahead of time, but, I don't know, man. Maybe we should move the show back to Sundays and I should just do everything and edit it. But I don't want to take away from your Sundays.
I can't really do Sunday either. I'm working for Sunday, too.
Bullshit. You could do it. It'd just be the same thing.
Yeah. On pay-per-view night, we would be recording the show during the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but we don't watch the pay-per-view and have a discussion about it. And half the time, we don't even watch the actual pay-per-view. So don't push that out there. That's shenanigans.
You don't watch the actual pay-per-view. I actually do try to.
Because you enjoy being disappointed in a product that you pay for continuously still. Yes, we know.
I've got the network for the archive at this point.
Uh-huh. Sure you do. Mm-hmm.
And TakeOver. Mm-hmm. I'll fuck up to TakeOver.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
TakeOver are fucking good, dude.
Oh, takeovers are always good. You know NXT's always been my baby from the network from, like, day one, so come on.
Okay, I'm assuming you call TakeOver Portland.
Yes.
I want your opinion what you think the match of the night was.
They had a real hard time, like, doing anything after the opener, in my opinion.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page. Like,
They did so much, dude. They did so much. It left nothing for anybody else. Like, I feel like I totally understand why people were like, enough of the kicking out of finishers, enough of the false finishes. Like,
in normal kicking in an opening match, I would agree. But then, what, the fourth or fifth one they've had now?
with them two, and now you got, and they went like almost fucking 20 minutes.
Yep. And now you've got the title on the line on top of it. You got to play off all the previous meeting. Add the fact that you've got the championship because there's a bigger stake in it now too. Like they needed to have, maybe they could have cut a couple of them kick out, but most of them needed to be there. Now, what do you take out in that situation? And it wasn't card for anything else to follow it. Now, I had a few people that only had that match ranked like third on the night, and I'm like, okay, maybe put Cole and Ciampa above it because it's the main event. But I have a hard time trying to think of any other match on the card that would have been above that.
I don't know.
Both women's matches I thought were good, but they weren't nearly as good as that opener.
Right.
Tag title looked really fucking good too. I can maybe.
Yeah, that'd be my only one. Like as much as I've been waiting for Gargano and Balor, it fell flat for me. They were trying to go so fast with their stuff, yeah. They kept fucking up, and I kept catching it. I'm like, maybe it was supposed to look that way, but I don't think so. I think they just kept fucking up and like missing shit, like, and having to like slow themselves down, then grab him and fucking whip him, and he kept like go to grab him. Oh, they try to like grab each other, fucking miss. Oh, then they get it.
Yeah, I think they would have been better curved if they were gonna go 30 minutes. They would have been better curved having an old goal 30 minute match where the first 15 minutes were building up to shit.
Yeah,
but.
And then I just, where do they, like, if that's a, it felt like it was a one-off, like, after you had that whole build-up where fucking Balor put Gargano out for, like, 3 months, and then he just beats him, and then, like, Gargano goes and does the shit in the main event.
Yeah.
I'm confused where we're going, and I didn't watch last night to see where, if it's furthered anything for us, which I feel like I would have heard if it significantly further things. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking here, so I'm kind of curious. I'm gonna have to watch tonight after we're done to see what is furthered in the story, because I don't understand where they're going right now.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Waking Up and Code either, to be honest with you.
So I guess we should get into our reviews.
I have to go first. The week you went first last week, huh?
I guess if you want to.
Okay. So we actually found a very loose common denominator.
We will not talk about it till the end.
Okay.
We're going to save that for the end. It's the fun thing to see if you can catch it.
Yeah. All right. Now, I decided after last week doing a Nitro from 90 Kick to stay in 1990 Kick, but go to EKW. And I've got EKW Cyber Slam 90 Kick from February 17th, 1990 Kick at the EKW Arena. Joey Styles on commentary. We open with the Bad Crew and Dredd against the Dirt Bike Kid, Donnie Allen, and Dino Kendoff. If you're asking who versus who, that was pretty much my reaction as well. This match is real short. It's like 2 minutes. The Bad Crew hit Dino Kendoff with like a version of the Doomsday Device, get a quick pin. Then the K-Man comes out and kicks the shit out of everybody.
Okay.
From there, we go to El Puerto Ricanio against Spiro Greco. El Puerto Ricanio had a run in the Attitude Era as Babu with Tiger Ali King. Spiro Greco, I don't remember seeing beyond this. Well put together, dude. Jacked up. Got basically a glorified squash for Greco. He wins in about 4 minutes. He looked all right. Crowd fucking hated him, dude. Like, look. I don't know if it's because he looked like a WWE guy or what, but the crowd fucking hated him.
Huh.
From there, we go to Tad with Bill Alfonso against Joel Hartgood. This is not too long after they were starting to build the Tad Taboo matching up.
Okay.
So Tank is just starting to do the shoot fighting type of gimmick with the commission move, and he's just starting to use the human suplex machine gimmick and all that.
Okay.
This is another one that's really freaking quick, that can take very long at all. After the match, Tank tried to continue to beat him up in order to get him out on a stretcher. Mikey Whipwreck tried to make the save, and Tank kicked the shit out of him, too. All of this happened in the first 15 minutes of this show, by the way. Three matches were like 15 minutes in. We then get Joey Styles in the ring doing the introduction for ECW television, and then the light go out. And when they come back up, Brian fucking Pillman is in the ring. Yeah, Pillman had been fired from WCW for his unprofessional behavior at the pay-per-view the week before, which we talked about last week a little bit.
The I Respect You Booker Man?
Yep.
Okay.
This wasn't really that big a surprise because the original kind guy in the crowd had a kind of said, Pillman, don't work me. So obviously he knew something. Yeah, but yeah, Pillman trying to treat him like a regular promo for a while, and then he'd go off the deep end and start swearing a lot, even by ECW standards. And then Heyman and Todd Gordon are both coming out like, you're taking it too far, and Shane Douglas is coming out. Pillman threatened to drop his pants and take a pick in the ring. Finally leave the ring, and Shane Douglas comes out, and Douglas can tell the security, you better either kick him out of the building or I'm going to kick his fucking ass. Apparently, they were actually building toward a Douglas-Pillman match before Pillman got into the action a couple months later, and a match never ended up happening. But really good fucking segment, especially if you didn't already know what was going to happen beforehand. Mm-hmm. Really good shit. From there, we get Bubba Ray Dudley, accompanied by Big Dick Dudley, Kind Guy Dudley, Chubby Dudley, and Dancing with Dudley against Mr. Hugh, and Bubba Grin can under a minute. Like, I'm actually, like, completely confused as to why this metric on the show that was that fast. From there, it's supposed to be the Gangsta against the Headhunter with Damian Kane in the corner. New Jack is not there. I don't know if he's injured, if he's in jail, what the situation is here. But Mustafa Bankley comes out and can take them both on by himself. The Headhunters come out. They beat the shit out of Mustafa for a while. The match never actually starts. Damian Kane gets on the mic and says their team bad enough to come out and fake us. And out come the Harris brother, the Broom brother.
Nazis.
Yeah. The match goes all over the ECW arena for about 3-4 minutes. Finally comes back in the ring. Harris brother win. Late in the match, it was a one-off deal where both guys went for pin at the same time, and the referee counted the one pin and not the other. Probably should have been a draw, technically. We're still not even an hour into the show. That five match and kind of long interview at this point. We get another TV open, and this time it's Tommy Dreamer, who is injured, and like apologizing that he's not going to be able to wrestle tonight. He got with Beulah. During the Beulah pregnant with Tommy baby angle. Go Raven comes out and starts yelling at Dreamer for getting a girlfriend pregnant. He got Kimona and Stevie Richards with him. And then Shane Douglas and the Brute brother come out like they're going to confront Raven, and the Harris brother could attack Dreamer and beat the shit out of Dreamer. And I missed what Douglas did at this point, but Douglas was not involved in the beatdown. From there, it is J.T. Smith against Axl Rotten. The month before this, they were supposed to be in a tag team, and J.T. Smith attacked Axl Rotten for some reason, so they got the grudge match coming off of it. They brawl on the ring for a little bit. J.T. Smith hit a DDT on the concrete floor. They go into the ring. J.T. Smith gets up for a moonsault, falls off the top rope. Crowd starts chanting, "You fucked up, you fucked up." Axl Rotten check on J.T. Smith, make sure he's not hurt. J.T. Smith hopped up, hit him with a chair, get the pin. So he faked fucking up in order to get the swerve and get the win. The angle they were going with there.
Okay.
Yeah, J.T. Smith had the basically that would yeah the reputation when he kept fucking up a spot. So they started playing off of it.
Smart.
From there, it is a Kick Perkin dog collar match. The Eliminator, Perry Saturn and John Cronin, teaming up with Cooper Stevie Richard against the Pitbull and Fran Keen. Stevie Cooper kicked Fran Keen like right at the bell, and she out for like almost the entire match. Got basically 3-on-2 the entire way. They brawl all over the arena. They wound up going on top of the Eagle's Nest. Kyder and Binkley did a moonsault off of Kronik's back off the eagle's nest on somebody on the floor, on one of the pit bulls. Kind of a pretty cool spot. Match finally does end up getting into the ring. Pitbull hit Stevie Richards with a top rope powerbomb neckbreaker combo, and Francine ends up pinning Richards off of that.
Nice.
After that, the Eliminator get the advantage and hit total elimination on all three of them. And they got to get their heat back. Really good, really fun brawl here. From there, Too Cold Scorpio defends the ECW World Television Championship against Sabu. This match goes 30 minutes.
Holy shit.
It's a 30-minute time limit draw.
Holy shit.
It is good. You had your typical Sabu match with the tables and the weapons and shit. And Scorpio doing his high flying shit. Psychology-wise, probably not what I would have liked to have seen. But I was entertained for 30 minutes. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Then we get a match that's just kind of weird in hindsight. Go ahead. Cactus Jack against Shane Douglas.
Okay.
During Cactus Jack's anti-hardcore deal, so he should be a heel, and Shane Douglas probably should be a fake and can ring all of it. The referee for this is Brian Hildebrand for some reason that's not explained. Like, I don't make one mention of all three of them were trained by Dominic DiNucci, and that was, like, it. There was, like, no explanation to why Brian Hildebrand even there. And the match is great for about 10, 12 minutes. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, even though Douglas should be the baby fake and Cactus should be the heel, Brian Hildebrand hand Shane Douglas handcuffed. And they do the Rock Mankind I Quit match spot with Cactus being handcuffed and Douglas being the shit out of him with a chair. Douglas ends up locking in a figure four. Cactus won't quit. Cactus calls out for Mikey Whipwreck. Mikey comes out, hits Cactus with the chair, shoulder her down 1, 2, 3 while he's locked in a figure four. And again, Mikey should have been the baby fake here still too. So I have no idea what the fuck they were, storyline wise, I have no idea what the fuck they were going on with it, but. And then from there, we have our main event. Raven defending the ECW Championship against the Sandman. Raven had Kimono Wanalea, Stevie Richards in the Blue Meanie in his corner. The Sandman's got Mickey Hyatt in his corner. This was your typical ECW smoke and mirror. Yeah, there are two ref bumps. Everybody's interfering. The Broom Brothers are out. Richards and Meanie are interfering. You got the cat fight spot with Kimono and Mickey Hyatt. Like, everything freaking happened. Raven finally gets the DDT with onto a chair for the pin. The crowd pissed. Sandman eventually wake up, call for mommy, which brings out Mickey Hyatt. They spoke together in the ring. Show go off the air.
Calls for mommy?
That. I thought he got Tommy at first, and then when Mickey came out, I'm like, oh, I think he got mommy, which is even weirder, honestly, but.
Wonder where that was supposed to go.
Yeah. Scorpio, Sabu, fantastic. Douglas and Cactus is really good. Basically, the first hour, a guy from the Pillman segment avoid and kind of watch the second half of the show.
Okay.
Some good stuff.
I decided to watch an AIW show. Now, originally, I was supposed to watch Wrestle Rave from 2019. However, I misunderstood a post. I thought that it was on IWTV. It is not on IWTV yet. It's on SmartMark Video for purchase, and I wasn't going to purchase it to review it for this show. So I chose another show since the Akron show was coming up
last night,
and so I decided to do the first Rubber City Con show that AIW did. So, let me jump to my notes.
Which is so far the only Rubber City Con show, but we'll.
Shh.
I hope they do another one. Fun concept, shh. But.
All right, so Rubber City Con, Akron, Ohio, November 3rd, 2018. It started off, there was three dark matches that were filmed and apparently just put on the release. So Ryder Reed against Eric Ryan. It was an okay match. Eric Ryan won via Tiger Driver. Up next was Booker T coming out, and he introduces The Industry, Mick Drake, and Devin Devine. And they're going to take on some creative pro wrestlers, CPA and Bobby Orlando. And Bobby Orlando had his son with him, which was a goat. A stuffed goat. So it was basically reality of wrestling versus creative pro, Booker T versus Kurt Hawkins.
You know, if Tanahashi can have a stuffed cat, Orlando can have a stuffed goat.
Absolutely. At one point, CPA hulked up and ripped open his CPA shirt, his button-up shirt with his clip-on tie, to reveal a Taylor Swift shirt underneath. That was his hulking up spot. Unfortunately, when he was doing this, the shirt got kind of trapped his arms, so he couldn't do anything while he was trying to hulk up because the dress shirt caught like. Got wrapped around him and he couldn't do anything. And then eventually there was an ace crusher on CPA by Devin Devine for the win. It was an okay tag match. The Creative Pro guys sold really well for Mick Drake and Devin Devine. Up next, Twan Tucker with Parker Pierce against Brian Carson.
Okay.
And it's funny to see all three of these guys and the gimmick that they're in at this show and where they are now 2 years later.
Yeah, but Karkin, basically a commentator. And yeah, Twan Tucker, not nearly the same guy he was.
No, and then Parker Pierce is with Dr. Dan now. So, yeah, they were kind of like Twan and Parker were doing like this frat boy type gimmick. It was kind of weird. Brian Carson actually won. Not sure how. My notes say, not sure how. Don't care.
I mean, I know you're not exactly a fan of Brian Carson ring work, but that's kind of rough.
I like his commentary very much. I think he is a very good commentator. I just was apparently not very impressed with this match at last night when I was watching it.
I mean, you can't tell the difference between Brian Carson and the Duke on commentary, but let's
just point out all of Charlie's faults. Fuck y'all.
In fairness, with that one, they didn't announce that Brian Carson had taken over for the Duke, but you could tell it wasn't the Duke if you're astute at all.
I don't know. Astute. Yeah, I'm not astute. There you go. How about that? This motherfucker over here doesn't catch Alexander Wolf being talked about on an indie show. Motherfucker.
And but you didn't catch it in editing. What are you motherfuckering me for, motherfucker?
Oh, I caught it because it didn't sound right, but I just let it go. It's my own stupidity elsewhere, okay? So, then there's a bunch of promos. So, there's a Typhoon promo, Wheeler Yuta promo, Faye Jackson promo, DJZ and Andrew Everett promo, Tim Daunce promo, which had Eddie Kingston telling him to shut up, like yelling in the background, telling him to shut up, and then making fun of him, a Dr. Dan promo, Duke with Mansur and Jock Sampson promo, which was really funny, because Mansur just had his blank stare on his face, and Jock kept asking him what he was staring at, and he just wouldn't answer. And then finally he's like, hey, there's gonna be beer out there, right? It was really funny. There's an Eddie Kingston promo, a Josh Bishop promo with a very, very baby face Josh Bishop. It was kind of adorable. He had his glasses on. It was really fun. A Bob Orton Jr. promo. And then a PME and Weird World promo where they announced they're going to form a like Voltron type arrangement. And it was going to be called the Weird World Experience.
I kind of like it.
So, yeah. And then we start off with Faye Jackson against Allison Kay.
Okay.
They start brawling out in the crowd. Twan Tucker is sitting in a chair. Faye makes Twan hold Allison Kay in his lap while she does her grinding on Allison Kay. and Tuan Tucker, which was really funny. A little bit later, Faye Jackson was sitting in a chair on the outside, and Allison KT's doing a back to her, but then decided to hit a running cross body on her instead. At one point, Allison K hit a second rope powerbomb on Faye Jackson, and then she ended up winning with a discus lariat. Up next, six-way scramble. Danhausen, the writer, as he was at the time. TKD, a.k.a. the Karate Dork.
Okay.
And he was also called Ryu, I believed, from a member of the crowd. Pat Monix, also known now as Project Monix. Wheeler Yuta, also known as Wheeler Cuda. Bobby Beverly, also known as The Bev, versus Zach Thomas.
Also known as Zach Thomas. Sorry, I had to.
So, yes, this is your basic scramble. Lots of craziness, lots of interesting stuff. It turns out Zach Thomas would pick up the win with that powerbomb he does. I don't want to call it a spirit bomb because I feel like the spirit bomb is more what Keith Lee does. But it's like he has him on his shoulders. He spins him around and hits the sit-out powerbomb. Yeah. I want to call it a spirit bomb. I guess I'll just call it a spirit bomb. If it's wrong, then it's a fucking surprise, and you can correct me for it.
Like what Twitter for.
Yeah. Up next, Dr. Dan against an unnamed opponent. He was named, but I'm going unnamed right now because there's a story involved, and I remember this happening because I didn't get to go to the show, but I remember this whole thing happening on Twitter. So originally, Dr. Dan was supposed to face Gilbert. Do you remember this?
I remember Gilbert was supposed to be at the event, okay. But I forget what
but
happened
after that. But he canceled due to food poisoning from shellfish. So what does John Thorne do? He books Shark Boy to face Dr. Dan.
I love Shark Boy. Have you ever met Shark Boy?
I have not.
I worked one show with him years ago. I love that dude.
They have a pretty competitive match. Nothing to write home about. Dr. Dan gives him a paper cut, which was all right. Dr. Dan wins with a roll-up holding the tights. After the match, though, Shark Boy hits a Stone Cold Stunner. I think that's what he called it. I don't know. He was half doing the Stone Cold gimmick, half not. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, I had a chant, Cauliflower Alley, one year to ask Stone Cold what he thought of Shark Boy doing that. And the answer I got was, compression call, right? Need a little work. And I'm like, but Duncan bother you? He's like, if it makes him money, more power to him.
I wonder what he thinks about Stone Cold ET.
Now, if I can give him a Cauliflower Alley, I'll act, but.
And I'll hate you even more. So.
You've always had the open invite to go.
Yeah, but, you know. Other things always arise. Anyway, up next. Hashtag Duke Money. Mance Warner and Jock Sampson with the Duke versus twins. PB Smooth and Swoggle. Turns out they want to make this a 3-on-3 match. So who do you think joins PB and Swoggle?
I actually do remember that it was Bob Orton Jr., wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Really fun match. Orton Jr. ends up hitting Duke with the Haas Division boot. PB hits Mance Warner with the Hertz Donut. And then Swoggle hits the small KO after doing a bunch of Randy Orton taunts for the 3. Up next, 8-man tag, the production of Magnum CK, Frankie Flynn, who are the current AIW Tag Team Champions at the time, Derek Direction, Eddie Olney, and being managed by Danhausen, against PME and Weird World.
That sounds like it should have been a lot of fun.
Oh, it started off real fun. So the production comes out, they're introduced, and well.
Yeah.
Joel Gertner comes out and introduces PME in Weird World. This was a really long match. I was surprised how long it was, but it was really, really good. There was actually a part where all of the Weird World experience get tagged in off a single tag because they all have their hands together, which was really funny. And then Magnum CK was upset that he was the only one against them because he couldn't tag in all of his tag team partners. That was a little fun spot. The Weird World experience ended up winning by a double stomp off the top rope from Marino. I think that's right. Yeah.
Marino, the skinnier one. And
Yes, it was Marino. Okay. That's right. I got it. We're good. Up next, the Intense title was on the line when Tim Donst, the champion, defended against Matt Justice.
And this before Matt Justice hit the role he'd been on in the last year or so, too.
It was the start. Because... So what I thought was really funny was I was picking all the people I'm friends with out of the crowd during this entire show, because at the time I hadn't been to a show in a while, and I knew most of these people, but we aren't as friendly as we are now.
Right.
So it was really fun to pick them out, and I saw Pam, and I saw Stacy and Ed, and Stacy was not at the corner to catch Justice in this because that was not a thing yet.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to see the before of this. It was very, Justice very much came into his own last year, it feels like, and this was just at the cusp of that happening, just as it was starting. Anyway, they brawled all over the place. They did a bunch of crazy stuff. There was a really cool spot where Justice hit the MK Ultra, and I thought that was the end of the match, but Donst actually, when he kicked out, he rolled Justice back into his own pin, which was really cool. At some point, Potato got knocked down or hit or something. I kind of missed part of it. My landlord was here. Anyway, when I got back to the action, Justice got an inside cradle, got the 1-2-3, Tom Dunn had come out and made that count. So Justice wins the Intense title. However, Dave Dawson decides to get up, Mr. Potato himself, and decides that Justice is DQ'd because of whatever happened with them. So
in an Intense title match.
It wasn't technically hardcore at the time. It was just a standard title, like a mid-card title. It wasn't Intense rules. That wasn't a thing. Again, we're pre all this current AIW. So, the title did not change hands. Tim Donst retained. Justice challenged Tim Donst to what would become the Intense Rules match down the line.
Which led to Justin putting Potato through a table and the crowd chanting Mash Potato, one of the greatest fucking chants I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, we were at that show, right?
Yeah, that was the Magnum KK retirement show, too, I think.
Okay, so that was Hell on Earth? We went to that Hell on Earth?
I think we did.
Okay. That's all a blur to me, because this was in, like, November 3rd, so that must have been later in the month. Like, a couple weeks later
when we went to that. In the month, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Be about right.
Makes sense. The next match, which is the match you came into as I was sitting here watching this, Eddie Kingston against Dominic Guarini.
I only called the last few minutes of it, but what I call looked really fucking good.
Yeah, it was a really good match overall. It was really, really fun. Lots of technical wrestling, lots of good stuff. I really enjoyed it. Eddie Kingston won with a back fist to the future and then shit talked the crowd, which was really funny. Told a guy he was going to show, he was going to fuck his girlfriend, show her why he's king. I thought it was really fun. Up next, Andrew Everett and DJ Z, the former Impact Tag Team Champions, against Trey Lamar and Chase Oliver, Team No Consequences.
Yeah. I legit forgot they were Impact Tag Team Champion until I heard that in the intro, by the way.
Yeah. So what did you think of this match? Actually, I can kind of throw this back and forth because you watched this whole match with me.
Yeah. There's some really good stuff, in it. All four guys like to fly around a little bit. You got some really good high flying shit.
Yeah, that double really cool shooting shit. Star from each guy on the one guy from each team doing it was real cool.
Yeah. Trey Lamar will bit it on the fucking guardrail doing a dive.
Yeah, he did a swanton or a, what'd you consider a tope suicida? Is that what it is?
I'm trying to remember if he went through or if he went over.
He went over.
I think technically the tope suicida is the one through the rope.
Okay.
But
okay.
It doesn't really make any fucking difference.
Rope. I'm sure. I can't remember. Excalibur, you got to break all this down for me. Because he's where I learned all these from. Anyway, he hit the dive over the top rope. His feet hit the guardrail. He limped a little bit after that one. There's another spot where DJZ and Andrew Everett were on the outside, and Truth or No Consequences did a moonsault and a dive through the ropes to the outside, which was really cool. And eventually, Chase Oliver hit a 630 on Andrew Everett for the win. Not the prettiest 630 I've ever seen.
He almost overshot it, which was really the main thing. He got a little too much on it. But my favorite part about this, honestly, though, with the Pope match, if they bring D&E in to try, you know, to do the respect the hug spot, and they kind of walk through them out off to the back, and then and wouldn't give the handshake.
Right.
If they're pissed off, they lost. You don't see that often on the type of show. So.
Yep.
And then I don't think they went anywhere with it, but
I don't know. I don't remember, honestly.
I don't remember Andrew ever coming back, although they probably did at least one, but
then we get into our main event for the AIW Absolute Championship. Tracy Hot Sauce Williams, or Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, versus the hometown boy from the Dirty 330. Joshua Bishop, Mr. Up for Anything.
Yeah, and it is definitely weird seeing where Joshua Bishop is now, seeing how the fans react to Joshua Bishop now.
Again, on the cusp, because after this incredible match, which this was a really good main event match, it shows that Bishop was ready to go back then, I guess, especially against somebody like Tracy Williams, who won with a pile driver. After the match, Dominic Greeny came out and attacked him, and that would lead to that whole feud there, which we ended up seeing culminate at the WrestleMania weekend show. So that was really interesting. It was a really fun show. It was kind of cool to go back and see the first Akron show and kind of where they came from to where they are now. And I'm so glad that there's going to be more Akron shows this year. And the first one, of course, was yesterday. But for us, it's still 2 days away because we're recording this on Thursday. So
yeah, I call the tentative date for the next one. And once they make it official, I'm going to have to see what I can do about making it. But I love that venue, too.
Yeah, it's super nice.
Okay, so our one loose thread between these two shows.
If you didn't guess and figure it out, now it's time to tell you.
Joel Gertner. Only very loosely, because Joel Gertner is at ringside. You can see him during the Sabu 2 Cold Scorpio match, but like that's it. He does nothing during the show.
Yeah, he did no intro for that show.
No ring announcing. He's just there.
Yes. So he was there. He did ring announcing at my show. Fun little loose affiliation there again this week, which we've been told is something fun to listen to and figure out. So yeah. Good times. Anything else you want to cover this week?
Do you want a preview of what I got talked into doing for next week?
Oh, you got talked into doing something for next week?
I got talked into doing something for next week.
By who?
A listener, and I will leave it at that.
Oh, come on. You don't want to give the listener a shout out?
No, honestly, because I'm going to fucking hate him by the end of the week. Yeah, I'll let him keep anonymity.
Okay.
Okay. I'm able to cast from my phone onto your TV here, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. Let me see if I can get this to work. Oh my. Get a preview of what I'm going to watch for next week.
2 hours later.
Russell Rock? What the fuck is happening right now?
Later.
This seems like it'd be right up your fucking alley. What do you mean you're gonna be mad that you had to watch this?
Several bad puns later.
Thank God that this isn't a watch along, so I can cut all this.
Come on. I made you suffer through the song. Let everybody else suffer through the song. At any rate, be happy that this is not a watch along. That was actually the request I had to do this like a watch along, and I went, fuck that.
Do you want to listen to me complain for 3 hours or however long the Wrestle Rock Rumble was?
I saw this show, I want to say, got close to 20 years ago, and I reviewed it for a website I was writing, which is why I kind of seen most of the show, but I knew a couple of the matches we're making.
Uh-huh.
My videotape of the show was almost 4 hours long, and I was with two matches missing. Now I get to get on the WWE Network over the next week and watch the entire fucking show and see if my opinion has changed at all in the last 18 years.
You're probably going to love it so much.
I didn't love it the first time. There's guys I like on this show.
You and Candy Dots are going to hold hands and watch it.
Me and Landshark Logger and maybe Captain Morgan. That's what I'm going to need to get through this show.
Oh, my. I don't know what I'm watching yet. I haven't decided. Probably going to do another AIW show, though. And then I think next week I might do Black Label. So, because they got a show coming up on the 29th.
A few moments later.
I'm too big getting in a Twitter argument with stupid people to worry about complaining about being.
Yeah, fuck that bitch and her husband's fucking art. It sucks.
I didn't have any idea that was his wife.
I think it's his wife or somebody he's related to. The name's what gave it away.
Him I like.
Mm.
I've talked to Robbie. Does great work. He's a good guy.
Dumb enough to marry some idiot like that.
Well. Yeah, to each their own. Like you and I have never been in bad relationships before.
It's true. It'd be enough for him to divorce her over it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
No, he was egging it on and was like, all these people are trying to explain to you that you're wrong. It's like, because you fucking are wrong, you dumbass.
And Pam gets blocked for KN. Not a dude. You're wrong.
Yeah.
That's literally all she said.
Well, because her whole argument was based on she was just going to tell that it was all dudes were going to argue with her. It wasn't going to be anybody else. It's like you're a fucking moron in whatever gender you decide to fucking argue with. They're all going to tell you you're a fucking moron. And fuck Val Venus, too, while we're at it.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah,
fuck that piece of shit. We will not discuss him on this podcast. We'll talk about Benoit all day long. But Val Venus, no, we're done with him. He's canceled.
At some point, we'll watch a show that he went on, we'll have to mention him.
Nope. He's redacted.
Okay. You're taking your power of bleep very responsibly.
I won't even bleep him on this one so that everybody knows who will be bleeping in the future.
Yeah, I was just in shock that him of all people, especially because he fucking feuded with Nicole Bat. Like that was...
Dude, he's supposed to be like, and it, what really cracked me up is like how hardcore, like he was like using the Republican bingo card of just like all the fucking terminology. Libtards, cuckboy, soy boy, name it, he fucking threw it out there. I'm like, this motherfucker right now, I don't even have to use the free space to hit bingo on this bitch.
Right.
Jesus.
And the funny part about it to me, well, apparently Cornette had no clue that Nyla Rope was trans until that hit.
Really?
Yep. And Cornette, and Cornette's like, so I guess the TV show's the only place they've never mentioned it? And his coach is like, yeah, pretty much. Like, okay, well, since you know it's controversial anyway, make it part of the storyline. If they already hate her for it, just double down on it. That was literally all Cornette said. He didn't badmouth her, didn't badmouth the situation. Just went, hey, people are already pissed off about it, play off it.
Mm.
I get why you don't want to do that if you're a AEW, but that was literally the only thing Cornette said about it once he found out was, you know, you already know.
Anyway, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us? Do you remember?
I don't remember all of it, but I will do my best to try to go through this. First off, I do have a plug for one place I'm going to be at. I will be with Rubber City Wrestling on the 29th, Cold War 2020. I will be managing Marcus Knight as he defends the NEO Championship against Spike St. James. Spike just lost a light heavyweight title match at the last show. I don't know how he got a shot at Marcus Knight's title, but I'm not the matchmaker.
But you are the manager to the champion, so you should probably work on why that's happening and why...
I got my legal counsel on it, but...
You did. Why did you agree to this? That makes no sense. What does Marcus get out of this?
Well, Marcus gets an easy win because of Spike King James. But... and also my men...
I love how we just transferred right over into fucking working right now.
And my men in the pinnacle, Scotty Stevens and Mike Smiley, will be defeating Detroit's Most Wanted on this show as well. I got the Akron Turner Club in Talmadge, Ohio, 6 o'clock bell time, Saturday, February 29th. You can catch me on Twitter, at PW Critique. Catch me on Facebook, Jayhawk1539. Catch me on Instagram. I want to say it's 153, Jayhawk1539. Don't quote me, but I'm never on my fucking Instagram. You can catch us on Twitter at the show, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You said them all.
I did?
Yep.
Okay.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Not ready, the number four, PTW.
Our email, notreadythenumber4PTW@gmail.com. I am Charlie Butters. You can find me at @charly_Butters on Twitter and Instagram. Also check out our podcast friends, Wrestling Cheers, Pod Van Dam, and the Super Fantastic Podcast, and our other non-podcast friends, Good Company in Cleveland, Ohio, and Smoke and Jay's Barbecue. So until next week, have a good one, everybody.
And tonight will go on forever while we walk around this town like we own the streets. And stay awake through summer like we own the heat. Singing everybody wake up, it's time to get down.
Everybody wake up, it's time to get down.
And when I pass the bottle back to Pete on the overpass tonight, I bet we laugh. Gonna stay 18 forever, so it can stay like this forever. And we'll never miss a party, 'cause we keep them going constantly. And we'll never have to listen to anyone about anything. It's all been done, and it's all been said. We're the cool.